This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Noel Lim. We're turning our attention to the National Fourth Industrial Revolution Policy, which was launched yesterday. And this aims to leverage on developing technologies and global digitization to propel Malaysia towards becoming a high-income nation. Now, this policy was jointly officiated by Dato' Sri Mustafa Mohamed, the Economic Affairs Minister, as well as Khairi Jamaluddin, who is Minister of Science and Technology.
Under this policy, Malaysia is seeking to build capacity in five core technologies, including the ABCD, right? Artificial intelligence, blockchain, cloud, and data. So overall, the policy has set some very lofty targets of increasing Malaysia's economic and social well-being by 2030 through, I guess, technology adaptation. So how prepared is Malaysia really to drive into, you know, to delve into this fourth industrial revolution? I guess better late than never.
So for a reaction to this policy, we have on the line with us this morning Dr. Rachel Gong, Senior Research Associate at Khazana Research Institute. Rachel, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. So what added value does the National Fourth Industrial Revolution Policy provide in terms of understanding Malaysia's growth strategy and direction? Does it actually provide more clarity?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I do appreciate actually seeing some clearer statements in this National 4R Policy about, I think the line is, shaping a sustainable future and putting society first and empowering people. I think this builds on the digital economy blueprint by acknowledging that it's not just a digital economy that we're trying to develop, but really a digital society. And a society first policy framework is exactly the kind of recommendation that KRI puts out in its new book on digital policy issues called Network Nation. But that said, both the National 4IR policy and the digital economy blueprint are high-level documents. So whether or not public interest is actually put first in the implementation depends on who is interpreting and implementing these various initiatives and who will have a seat at the decision-making table to decide on what subsectors and what sort of technologies get funding. So having diverse interests, not just corporate interests, involved in making these decisions where to invest in these technologies is going to be very important to really having this society first outcome. So for example, will farmers actually have a say in discussions where on where best to deploy 4IR technologies in agriculture? Or is it mostly going to be decided by big corporations that sort of, you know, presume to know what's best for farming workflow?
And what do you make of the benchmarks the government aims to that the government aims to achieve by 2030 under this policy, especially with regards to the improving quality of life?
Well, to be frank, I'm not really sure that the quality of life benchmarks are the most suitable measures when we're trying to evaluate, you know, the impact, the positive impact of technology on society. And at the moment, because it is so broad, it's hard to see how different types of, you know, the core technologies across different sectors eventually lead to the outcomes that they're targeting. Maybe when we drill down into more specific sectors or subsectors, there will be clearer links between the indicators and the technologies. But at this stage, to me, there doesn't seem to be a really strong connection between the technologies and the target outcomes. But in any case, I think all of these technologies are really very new. At least the research I'm aware of has not, you know, conclusively linked, for example, a healthy life expectancy to the adoption of, let's say, remote medicine. So that even if we do hit some of these benchmarks, I'm not sure that we can say, oh, yes, this is because, you know, we adopted 4IR technologies. If we implement some of these 4IR technologies and fail to hit those benchmarks, I'm not sure that it's fair to say, oh, you know, so we shouldn't have wasted our time on 4IR.
This national plan describes five foundational technologies. I actually find that quite problematic because technology is changing so fast. So what's your view about this use of this phrase?
Right. So in my opinion, this is not so much, you know, five foundational technologies. I mean, they're really aspirational technologies. And I think they're almost, you know, more like five buzzwords, dare I say, because know, these are exciting areas to be looking into development. But we really do have to ask if we are pursuing these specific technologies because they're new, because they're exciting, because everyone is also, you know, working on them, developing them, or if we have really identified the value add that they're going to have on the industries that we see as, you know, potential growth industries. You know, and then on top of that, I think these technologies, exciting as they are, they come, you know, needing complex systems with their own long-term sort of unforeseen consequences. So they need to be properly designed and planned, I think for three different things. First, we have to ensure that they're backwards compatible so that they can work with existing systems until, you know, we can transition more fully to relying on them. They need to be interoperable so that they can work with each other. And they need to be incrementally upgradable so that you don't have to, you know, start over from scratch every time you add something on, that you don't have to train a worker every time you want to upgrade the system. So my understanding is that, and I admit it's limited, but my understanding is that we are quite some distance from mainstreaming these technologies into Malaysian industries.
Do we have the right ecosystem to drive development in these technologies? What's missing and might need to be put in place?
So one of the things that we've sort of argued for, you know, maybe argue it's too strong, we sort of push for in thinking about digital governance is really an interoperable framework, trying to develop a system, complex as it is, to account for many different types of management of data, cybersecurity, balancing, having open data and data privacy and all these considerations. I think that's a key component of the ecosystem that I don't see much discussion on. I think we have foundational things in terms of we're talking about having the right infrastructure. So let's develop, you know, better connectivity. I think we have technical skills where we're talking about, do we have, you know, cloud servers and things like that? Are we investing in getting those into Malaysia? Yes, we are. But in terms of how we then think about managing the data, that's something that I think could still use some improvement and further discussion on.
Does the policy address how the government plans to tackle the job losses that could ensue from the 4IR transformation? And how should this be addressed?
My sense here is that, as you have pointed out, there are some mixed findings as to what kinds of what the net effect on jobs is going to be. Because, yes, I think there's consensus that automation is going to hit the low-skilled jobs the most. But then there's also a lot of opportunity in areas like AI and big data analysis to create new jobs. And I think the question will be, again, around the implementation of whether we go more towards, you know, developing AI and big data analysis and therefore being able to train or being able to develop the right skills in workers and job seekers to be able to fulfill those needs. But at the moment, I actually find it quite hard to imagine that SMEs that form the bulk of Malaysian firms will be able to do away with their existing workforce and labor systems, you know, for the high cost, high risk, not really sure high reward potential of 4IR technologies. I could be completely wrong on that, but I think, you know, given that for many years now, we've not really been able to reduce our reliance on low-wage labor, I think that's going to be a big challenge, you know, just trying to get people to explore and adopt these technologies. And it's these kinds of issues that really have to be thought through as well, not just, okay, how do we implement the technology, but what are the social outcomes that we're going to see on employment and workers?
Rachel, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Dr. Rachel Gong, Senior Research Associate from Khazanah Research Institute. And if you want to learn more about the various debates on digital policies, KRI does have a book out titled #NetworkedNation, Navigating Challenges, Realizing Opportunities of Digital Transformation. You can find this on their website. It's free to download. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.